Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
If you will take your seed of faith and place it in the right location, it is an anchor for the soul that will span the ceaseless ages of time. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is where my faith must reside if I'm going to survive the winds of this world that are blowing right now.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for joining us again on Revive Radio. Today's program was taken from a recent Sunday service here at Pace Assembly. This is part one from a two-part message series entitled, Hope for Hard Times. Let's go into the message today with Pastor Rogers.
So we rent this thing from this guy. In fact, after a while, we had conversation and we knew some people that they knew and all that kind of thing. That was all wonderful, but I didn't care nothing about that. I just want to get on that boat, get out that water out there, get my mind cleared out. So I'm trying to hurry because I owned a pontoon boat before and I kind of know a few things, but he's describing, he said, this is how you turn it on, this is how you steer the thing, this is how you do this. He's showing us all this stuff. I said, yeah, okay, that's good. He said, right over here is the anchor, and right over here is this. And I said, all right, that's good, let's go. Throw the beanie weenies on board, and let's go. We take off, and there's about a 3 or 4 foot chop out there already. And we're having a good time, you know, boom, boom, bouncing down there. We're going to get down there somewhere where it's smooth water, calm sailing. And we had that boat going for, we didn't row it, but there was a motor on the back. And we drove that thing down there for about 2.5 miles down there. We get down there to one of our favorite spots. We know where it's at, and nice little shallow place. And I reach over there, and I start to grab the anchor, and I pull that rope up, and on the end of it is nothing. Nothing but frayed ropes on the bottom end of that. And I'm just shaking that thing. I said, somebody done stole the anchor, Rita. Now, all the while this is going on, somebody stole the anchor, Rita. That boat's going anywhere the wind is taking it. Had to turn the motor on, try to hold us. I said, we've got to go back. I said, I don't want to go back. Said, we got to go back and get the anchor. We can't sit out here like this. Ain't no place to tie nothing to. What you going to tie it to, a wave? So how many of you know at that point, you're just kind of like a little upset? I'll tell you the way I felt, I was a little ticked. How's that right there? We go all the way back there. I pull up there at the dock where we came out. The guys are standing there looking at us like, you know, we only been gone 30 minutes. Where you? And we pull right up in there. I said, hey, ain't no anchor on this thing. Now I'm about to preach right now. So we need an anchor. Something happened. Started to throw it out. Wasn't nothing but a rope. He said, oh. He said, I know what happened. He said, the folks before you, they like to take the pontoon boats from here and go down to Crab Island, down there where they're drinking and jumping and shucking and jiving down there in Destin, all in boats down there. Taylor used to call it a boat revival. We come across there, be thousands of boats out there, boat revival. And we pull that pontoon boat up in there and throw the anchor. Are you hearing me? And when they threw the anchor out there, he said, what happens is that they get all tangled up with all the other people's boats and anchors out there, that instead of them getting it untangled and bringing it back, they just cut the thing off and leave it in the water. And I'm afraid that too many Christians have gotten themselves associated with people who don't believe like you do. Listen to the stuff all tangled up in the mess, and you're tired and you're weary, and after you've done all that you want to do, now it's time for you to go back to the house, and suddenly you find yourself all tangled up. And the next thing that many people are doing, instead of keeping on believing and having hope for tomorrow, their ears are filled with unbelief and worry, so they cut the rope and cut the anchor as if Jesus don't matter anymore. I'll come to church if I want to. I'll pray if I want to, if I need to. If it gets real bad, preacher, I want you to know it is real bad and it's going to get worse. How's that for a prophet? But I came to tell you today, my friend, that the last thing you need to do in this hour is cut the anchor, who is the anchor of your soul. Why do you need an anchor? I'm glad you asked. You need an anchor because of people. You ever met people? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, long before there was social distancing sitting in the church, folks were sitting way away from one another because they didn't want to be around. People and their attitudes. Have you discovered that people are right on the edge? How are you doing today? Fine. I went into the store in Pensacola and you know, they put the mandate out there to wear the mask, and I'm all about it. Wear the mask. Keep your germs to yourself. Right? Keep it all up in your mouth. But make sure you do it other than the guy that I saw the other day who had sweated and had so much moisture that was going on the end of his mask that all of it had flaked off, and I was seeing his lips through there. So it ain't helping if you do that. It's flaking off. I say change your mask. Come on, somebody. I got right to the door, and there was a big old sign right there. Wear your mask. Go in. I turn around and get my mask. And my wife gave me a whole bag full of masks. Problem is, they look like the fruit of the looms over there. They're white and all that. It looks like I'm wearing a diaper on my mouth. I put this mask on. I start walking back towards the door. Guys, I'm sorry. Guys coming out of... He's coming out of the store I'm going in, and this is the way it is. You're walking up, and people looking at one another over their mask. Hardly anybody talk to one another. If they do, they sound like the drive-in window at one of the fast food restaurants.
You bring a cheeseburger?
What'd you say? People have attitude. How many of you know people got attitude? People have all kinds of situations going on in their life, their frustrations, their actions, their attitude, their unfaithfulness towards the kingdom of God. And it's causing many Christians to lose what they need. They're setting it aside. I'm going to tell you, the results of a boat without an anchor is a tragic thing. I didn't have the ability to put it up on the screen up here, but I watched as a Japanese ship, one of the largest in the world, has one of the largest anchors on the largest chains. And that thing got away from them, Steve. It's on a motor to crank it back up in there, but they let it down a little at a time, because it could jerk the vessel down into the water, and it got away from them. And the next thing you know, it just spins, and they lose one of the largest anchors in the world, and the boat is just doing this right here. It set the machine on fire. One of the tragic things of our lives is when we lose our anchor and lose our way and lose our hope. And then we start reaching out to anything and anybody. Can you do this for me? Can you do that? Why do we need an anchor? Because the Bible says in Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. But Jeremiah said in that same chapter, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Why do I need an anchor? Because from time to time I get discouraged. I'm going to poll you like I did the 8 o'clock service. How many of you in this building have been discouraged over the past month or so? Come on, be honest. Look at all the hands. Discouraged. Discouragements are going to come. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to do like the world? Let's go down and party it away. I've read a prophecy from David Wilkerson from 1998 on Prophecy Files the other day. And that prophecy said that if some new disease, he said this in 1998, I brought it to this church in 2015 in Prophecy Files. If a new disease, something like Ebola, breaks out that's coming, he says, what would America do? Would they repent? Would those that are sinners turn their hearts towards God? David Wilkerson said in his prophecy in his book, America's Last Call, no. He said, in fact, they will follow the same way as the other nations in the world and go after their orgies and after their parties harder than they ever have. And that's what we've seen. As soon as the door was open, people went right back. And guess what? Here we are again. Where is the church in that? We cannot be in the same condition as they are. We have a hope that is an anchor to the soul in the middle of our hearing of the fear and the torments that are out there. The believer is supposed to be anchored to Christ in such a way. Though sometimes I might get discouraged like David. Why is my soul distressed? Why art thou disquieted within me? He turns around and says to the Lord, hope thou in the Lord. Why do we need an anchor? Because of the hopeless feelings that are happening in the world today, our emotions. The AMA has just published an article this past week that they call it broken heart syndrome that people are suffering from today. Cardiomyopathy. Broken heart syndrome, where all of the bad news and all the stuff that's going on is so overwhelming to people that have heart problems that it's causing them to have to go into the hospital, and the results of that in many cases is not good. Job felt the same way. He might have had cardiomyopathy when he said in Job 6 and 11, what is my strength that I should hope? And what is my end that I should prolong my life? At one point, Job says to himself, it's so bad, I'm ready. I wish I'd have never been born. I wish I would have been a stillborn than to have to deal with all of this. But the psalmist turns around and says in Psalm 31, for I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints. Come on, somebody. Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentiful rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. If your hope is in this world, it's going to be dismay and discouragement. But if your hope is in Jesus Christ, when other people are crying, you're shouting and praising the name of the Lord, because that's where my hope is. Why do I need an anchor in these hard times? Well, Jesus said in the last days, perilous times are going to come, Paul said to Timothy. Jesus said in this life, you're going to suffer persecution. Well, that don't sound like really great to me. Somebody sitting here today or watching right now says, you know what, Pastor, nobody told me that part of the book. I thought it was like the yellow brick road to Oz. Whenever I got saved, Jesus said, in this life, you're going to suffer persecution. I'm not up for persecution. You better get ready for it. It's going to come harder than you've ever seen. And you've got to hope more than you ever have in the Lord. Why do I need an anchor for the soul? Because we are prone to drifting. Our first propensity is to drift. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Let me tell you what the Lord has done. He took your sinful life when you had no hope. Listen, 90%+ of the people, I would dare say 99.9% of the people, came to the Lord Jesus Christ in the knowledge of salvation when they were in a crisis. Somebody died, some tragedy, some situation happened, and you said, I've got to do something to turn this around. You made the right move at the right time. There are millions and millions of people that do not have this hope, and this is my concern. If the church, ladies and gentlemen, has lost hope in Christ, and we're feeling the same thing that many people are feeling outside that don't know the Lord, where will their hope be if the church loses its way and its anchor?
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, Remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.